Okay, so good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are. This is Glenn Robertson, CEO of Pure Channels, the channel agency. Welcome to another edition of The Drop-In today. 100% my pleasure to welcome Alex Brayshaw, who long-term friend, colleague, mentor, boss of mine. We've known each other probably 12, 13, 14 or so years, back to our DNX days. Alex joins us as now new partner of the Magnus Club, having come from managing partner at Ogilvy and of course a director at DNX. Alex, do you want to give 20 or 30 seconds to say hi, tell us who you are and what you do, where you come from, all of those things?
I'd love to. Thanks, Glenn, and really appreciate being here. It's nice to talk to you in this environment. We chat quite a lot, so why not share our thinking with the world? Alex Brayshaw, I'm a B2B marketer. Have worked in agencies for the last 20 or so years, working with lots of very cool, exciting brands, large and small. So worked in the channel with people like SAP and Cisco and lots of kind of tech like that, but also other smaller, interesting businesses as well, around especially around some of the emerging technologies like AI and IoT over the last sort of 5 years as well. And spending a lot of my time working with companies on how to kind of connect brand to business strategy, marketing strategy, and all of the intricacies of that, and I guess at the core of that is the relationships between all of those things and how they work as well.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, thank you. Welcome. I was so glad that you could take the time to join us on a drop-in. So you mentioned the one thing there. You know, this whole relationship piece, and of course, you know, we know in the channel that it literally survives, thrives, occasionally dies on the basis of good, bad, or otherwise relationships. And so it might be maybe a good place to start then is how have you seen that relationship piece play out through the work that you've done over as you to use your words, not for any other reason than to use your words of the last 20 or so years in agency and working with some of the brands that you have, both on the direct and indirect side.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, don't want to age myself, but yeah, it's been a while. But I think at the end of the day, you know, relationships are the core of everything. You know, whether it's in business, whether it's personally, whether it's socially, whether it's politically, it's actually relationships that kind of make or break how well things go. And you know, when things don't go so well, it's generally because of the state of the relationship, and I think that's, you know, what I've learned, and I think probably what we've all learned over the last year at least is it's those strong relationships that have kept us going and kept us in business, kind of kept us sane as much as we've been able to be over kind of all the sort of stresses and strains of what's happened over the last year. So it's no different whether it's two small businesses working together, whether it's a large vendor and their partners working together. If the relationship is transparent, clear, defined, there's an understanding and an empathy for what each party needs and what each party gives and provides, then things generally go well. And if there are, you know, kind of issues, and which there always will be, you know, no relationship is perfect. But it's if you kind of have those principles in place of what makes a good relationship, as well as the people, because it's all about the kind of chemistry and the skills of the people involved. If kind of those are working well, then you can kind of get through the ups and downs that naturally go through any kind of relationship, whether it's, as I say, business, you know, in the channel, not in the channel. So for me, it's that. It's about setting that kind of those principles in place, and common views of the world. It's kind of what holds relationships together.
And I think that the world, there's a good point there, because I mean, you know, clearly DNX and Ogilvy, you worked globally with a number, probably all of the biggest brands that we would all recognize, won just about every award there is to win, I'm sure, as you have done. But are there are these principles you mentioned, are they pretty much the same the world over, or are there nuances, or are there things that we have to, or are we talking right back at a basic human being level that the principles are essentially the same? You might just have to tweak them a bit. How does that bit work?
Yeah, I think there are of course nuances, culturally, geographically, but that's more about the characters and the maybe sometimes the hierarchies and things in place. But the general basis of good relationship, good working relationships are the same. It is about trust. It's about knowing roles. It's knowing what it is that you bring to that relationship, kind of what it is you need to get out of it, but also having a common purpose. Oh my goodness, there's been so much talk of purpose and the purpose of brands and what the purpose of businesses are, and people have spent lots of time and effort focusing on, what is it we're trying to give to the world, whether it's a tech business, whether it's a pharmaceutical, whether it's a whether it's a service business, whatever it is, there's been a real focus in the last kind of five or so years on what is the purpose? Why do we exist? What's this existential reason for being? So, slightly off track, but I think those basic principles of common ground, common vision, common purpose, and then a kind of a like-minded fit in terms of the way of working as well, which could be very different. It could be more informal, it could be more formal, it could be more kind of numbers driven in terms of kind of targets and things. It could be more ethically driven or sustainability driven. So some of those measures are important, but as I say, I think the common kind of basis for all of this stuff is really about purpose and vision and a kind of a shared ideals and shared values as you work together.
And is that again, we talk about the global piece. If we kind of segment it also, is that the same between the likes of customer and supplier at the same time as it is agency and client? Just is this, are we heading towards more of this being more about people and less about business, or are those, are they the same or different things?
I don't think you can disentangle those because people and business is all kind of part of the same thing. I think what changes when you talk about kind of between the customer or between agency and client, I think it's just the goals are different. It may be that the goals for a creative agency working with a client, the goals are different. It could be about sales, it could be about customer engagement, it could be about relationship building. It could be about, for the creative agency, it might just be about awards and doing the best kind of creative work and making a statement in the market. In some businesses, it's about getting their brand on the map. It's about entering new markets. It's about being more intelligent about how they go to market and using data and insights to do all of that. So I think the goals are different. And then on the vendor's customer side or the partner's customer side, their goals are very different as well. So it may be a partner working with a customer who has different growth ambitions. They're trying to expand their business out into different markets, or they may be trying to deliver new services to their end customers as well. So their goals are just different. But again, the partnership is, and the relationship is about how you get there. So you go back to the core principles. Well, they're the same, but the end goal might be different for whatever those relationships are. And it's the same in, my relationship with you. Sometimes the goal is we just want to go to the pub for a beer, and we're kind of the strategy is which pub are we going to go to and how are we going to get there. Local businesses around here, our relationship is probably about, what sandwich I'm buying and, whether they know, what I like and what I don't like. So it's just the goals are always different, but that kind of relationship and bond is always going to remain the same.
So we talk about things being mutually beneficial. Clearly very important, and clearly a saying that is bandied around probably in almost every client supplier or customer supplier relationship there. But how do we get to how do we get to the crux and the essence of something that is genuinely mutually beneficial? Or is there a level of hierarchy? Who, does there come about a point at which somebody really kind of has to be in charge or take the lead, or is that, or is that not important?
I think it is important. Mutually beneficial. I mean, I think you could be mutually beneficial and have different aspects within that. So, there is a point at which probably in business the mutually beneficial aspect is there is a financial goal, because ultimately, there will be a set of revenue targets, sales targets, and you are both working towards that and contributing your different parts to it. In other kind of relationships, there is other goals and mutually beneficial kind of aspects. But I think in kind of world we're in, it's ultimately going to come down to some of those financial goals. There might be societal goals in there as well, which maybe if you're in a kind of my kind of world of client agency relationships, it might be a kind of mutually beneficial people goal. So it maybe there is an aspect of development of people and skills and expertise on both sides. So people are kind of learning new things, developing in different ways, trialing kind of new ways of going to market and testing the market with different kind of approaches and different media channels and things. So which might you might find on an agency side, the benefit for them is, they are kind of showing their abilities in different fields and training teams to do different things or work with different partners to do that. On the kind of client side, it may be that it's about developing their own team or developing their own in-house capabilities. It's kind of you're aiming for the same thing, but you're kind of taking your own kind of benefits from it as well. So mutually beneficial is right, but I think there's a lot of room for maneuver in there in terms of that what's beneficial.
Just kind of, going deep, digging deep, and understanding, understanding each other, understanding outcome. What are we looking to achieve genuinely here? And not, can you model this? It's not a one size fits all scenario, is it? Or are there elements that can be?
Is there a model? There's probably a model
Wry
out there.
smile
Yeah,
there.
model out there. There's probably a model out there. Probably a really simple model or a really, really complicated model. I think I'm not sure. I'm not sure actually. I think there's probably someone cleverer than me out there writing models for it. I think my kind of passion at the moment and kind of why we're talking about this thing behind me, the principles of partnership, is really trying to establish what the relationships are, and how to create the best relationships to enable you to achieve those goals. And if we can kind of work on models around what those goals and mutually beneficial aspects are, then I think that's a good thing. But I think if we can at least get the sort of relationships on a level playing field and a good basis, then we've kind of done some of the job already.
Well, yeah, exactly. And this is, and the only reason I ask, and I know that we both smile about this, is because, clearly in the channel, we see, you might have vendors that are dealing with tens, hundreds of thousands of partners, and we're trying to kind of shoehorn a model activity across a wide scale, and actually, to try and have relationships through disti to partner, through partner, onto end customer, to try and hold those in a one size fits all kind of bucket is really difficult. Maybe it's that we, there are core principles at play, but actually there has to be an element that deals with difference and what might work for one, or what, might need to be tweaked for another. And I guess it's clearly easier to do with, with maybe what we would call higher tier or focus partners, and then the long tail, is dealt with in a much bigger bucket, let's say.
Exactly right. And I think, if you apply models to things that aren't right, you kind of it just never works, because coming back to our kind of thought that, what is the expectation or requirement of both parties? Well, if the model doesn't quite fit for both, then it kind of makes it meaningless. So therefore you end up with conflict and you end up with difficulties. So I think there are, there's probably some aspects to it where there's a kind of way to kind of scale these things through a model, but I don't know. I don't know. Need to be a bit more customized, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you point above your shoulder there, and this is a great thing. It's something that you've come up with at the Magnus Club, and is working through B2B as well. It's great. The principles of partnership. So, maybe talk a little bit about what POP means.
Absolutely, yeah. And this is kind of why I've been thinking a lot about relationships, because we've not just us. We've worked together with the Business Marketing Club, also working with lots of client businesses and agencies as well, to get a real balanced view and balanced input into it, as well as people like the DMA and other kind of partners as well. But it really came from, over my years of working with different clients. I'm lucky that I've had very good relationships and, very long-term, long-tenure clients, which has been great. And kind of looking at the kind of why that is, and those that haven't gone so well, trying to understand that as well. And talking to the industry, there is so many kind of misunderstandings and miscommunications around kind of what's going well, what's not going well, that we kind of felt there was a need to put something together that gave some guidance that said, these are the kind of constituent parts of a good relationship, whether that's the very start of the process or whether it's, trying to review where you are in a process or trying to understand why there might be problems. And, in my world, we see lots of pitches, we see lots of clients kind of running pitches, and, there's all sorts of stats out there saying, a quarter of all pitches never end up appointing anybody, which kind of seems like an odd thing to me. Yeah. There's kind of a huge cost that goes into pitches, and both on the client side and the agency side in terms of the creative and the number of people involved and the number of parties involved. So you then start to dig in and go, well, why is there a need for things like pitches? Why is there a need to work with a different partner? And as you start to kind of peel back the layers of it, you see that there are issues that can probably be resolved. So there is probably a core good relationship, but there's some things that have gone awry. There's some things that have not quite met the mark, or there's a miscommunication or a breakdown in the relationship that actually doesn't need to undermine the whole thing, but could be addressed. So we kind of looked at all of the good bits and the bad bits and said, well, okay, what actually is it that we can kind of share with the market? And we're kind of really passionate that the industry takes this up and says, this is something for the industry to use to kind of build into, ways of working with between the parties. There's a kind of a bit of a pledge from each side of the relationship to say, these are the things that we're going to do. And we kind of, we're looking at all aspects, whether it's pitching, whether it's the onboarding process, whether it's the communication between both sides, whether it's the behaviors that you would like to see on both sides, and all trying to be very positive in the sense of, it's about transparency. It's about being fair and equitable. It's about being as open as possible, so that, for example, agencies don't always show exactly kind of who the team is and how they're going to work and what their process is and all of those things. So we want agencies to be much more rigorous around that and much more kind of structured around that. So there's a kind of a fair understanding. And then on the client side, being open about, access to information and intel that you need, understanding of budgets and all of those different things, and real kind of clear onboarding onto the client's business, because some things fail because nobody ever really spends time understanding the needs of a business. So you kind of pile into a project and actually, guess what, it kind of doesn't end up where it should have done, because there was no real kind of standard way of onboarding both agencies into clients, but also clients into how agencies would like to work as well. So we've tried to cover all of those aspects and really give, it's not really do's and don'ts. We've kind of done a lot of the do's. It's a very positive kind of way of looking at these things in terms of some of the aspects that need to be in place. So as I say, we're sharing it with the industry. We are asking people to try and use it as guidance. And we know there are extremes, there are lots of really good relationships. Otherwise, the whole thing wouldn't work anyway. So there are loads of great relationships of people that have been, of agencies and clients that have been together a long time. There are lots that kind of come together and they're finished and done within a few months for whatever reason. And we always think that's probably because the start point wasn't right. So we want to try and kind of level that out a bit and kind of give people at least everybody a fighting chance of trying to build long-term relationships with each other. Because ultimately that's best for both parties. Talk about mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
The most mutually beneficial thing is to be in a relationship longer than a few months, because you build up equity, you build up knowledge, you build up understanding of how each other works, how each other's business works, and you build up skills and expertise around each other's business that can only provide better value over time and also better results and business outcomes.
So it's kind of like establishing not necessarily a blueprint or a code of conduct, but something that is more about early clarity and establishing commitment and understanding on both sides. So it's not a one-way street. It's just clarity of expectation from both sides.
Exactly, and keeping it pretty straightforward. It's all there's lots of common sense in there. Keeping it quite simple. It's funny you almost said code of conduct then when we debated whether it was a code of conduct, and that felt like it wasn't about partnership. It wasn't about doing things for the better. Code of conduct suggests this is kind of a kind of really rigid.
The only way to do it.
You must not move out of these kind of parameters, and it's not about that. It's about guidance. It's about giving people some kind of principles. That's why it's called principles of partnership, but also giving room to kind of work around that as well. So it's designed to kind of work in any kind of type of relationship. So whether it's in the channel between vendors and agency, whether it's between partners and agency, you could apply it to other things as well. And it's designed for big kind of businesses and small businesses. It's kind of to it for everybody.
Okay, so for obviously we're signed up, we're part of it. But so for anybody that wants to have a look, review, get access, what do they do? Where do they go? How can they sign up to the B2B Principles of Partnership?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very easy. You go to b2bpop.org. So b2bpop.org. And there is a website and it's got everything on there. It's really straightforward. And there's nothing to sign up to. We want to encourage people to use it. We want feedback because we want this to be a bit of an evolving piece, because we're not saying this is the answer by any means. This is just a start point, and we'll kind of build it, kind of amend it, evolve it. And we want people to feedback on it. We want to get real life scenarios back. Say, actually, we kind of talked about this bit and that didn't quite work. And we can then understand whether that's a common issue or actually there's some things in there that we should include that we haven't already. So it's there to be used. It's there to be tested in the real world, and we want feedback and input into it as well. And we'd love people to kind of put their name to it as well. We'd love people to kind of shout about it on social media, wherever their channels are, to say, yeah, we are using it. We're using parts of it, and we found it really useful for establishing good relationships or establishing the right principles of the relationship. So that's what we're asking.
Very good. And so how does that then fit with the Magnus Club and what you're doing there now? Or does it?
Well, in many ways it doesn't really. We've just done it because we think it's the right thing to do.
Oh, brilliant.
It doesn't we kind of have a view about how we like to run relationships, and kind of that's built into kind of what Principles of Partnerships is all about based on our experience. We want to use it where we have relationships with our clients, but we're doing it for the industry. So it doesn't, there's nothing we're selling off the back of it. We do, as I said at the beginning, we kind of help businesses with their strategy. But we're not there to help their relationships, but we can kind of, we apply the principles where as much as we can as well.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, in that case then, give us a little bit about Magnus Club and sort of where that's from and who you're working with and to what end.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the Magnus Club, we're a We're a team of strategists. So myself and my strategy partner, Teresa, we work with B2B clients. So all sectors, you know, I have a lot of experience in tech, but as a team, we've got tech, we've got logistics and transport, we work in financial services, healthcare. We're working with lots of really interesting businesses at the moment in a number of those sectors. We're really kind of wanting to work with those kind of businesses who have ambitions to really grow the organization, so have growth ambitions, you know, and understand that marketing as an aspect of helping that growth is kind of key. So we're there to help ensure that marketing delivers on the business strategy, that there is the right skills and resources and structure in place to deliver that, but also the right marketing content, ABM strategies, all of those things to deliver on the growth ambitions of the business. And, you know, we're working with some really progressive, ambitious organizations and people within those organizations to kind of make it happen. That's what, you know, we're always looking to kind of grow our relationships with the people we're working with and the clients we're working with, because, you know, we want to kind of work with interesting businesses and people that have a kind of similar kind of mindset in terms of growth and how marketing can support that.
Okay, cool. So there's something I'm interested in as well. You know, we hear this quite a lot, don't we? You know, B2B is always seen to be slightly behind B2C. You know, on this timeline of evolution, you know, we've kind of got B2C out there in front, and then we've got B2B, and then we've got the channel, you know, that poor neglected sibling, you know, kind of trying to keep up, running behind, even though the channel is the part that that drives the most revenue, and we'll still keep banging that drum and waving that flag. But so how do you see that, and how have you seen that evolve over time as well? You know, and what is it that maybe the channel can do to catch up in marketing terms, that maybe makes note of some of the things that you say, you know, creativity, alternative activity, strategy over tactic, and those types of things. You've got any ideas there where the channel can potentially benefit from all of that direct experience that you've got?
Absolutely. I think I don't even think about the kind of B2C aspects, because yeah, I've always believed that in B2B we are incredibly sophisticated marketers, and we use sophisticated, at our best, we use the most sophisticated technologies. We are better connected to the needs of the business. And actually, if you look in the UK, B2B is driving, you know, the economy, you can argue, more than anything. You know, B2B organizations are absolutely driving growth and our way out of kind of where we've been in the last year.
100%.
So I think there is like everything, there's lots of good B2B stuff out there. There's lots of not so good B2B stuff out there. There's lots of really bad B2C stuff out there that's not thought through and not very strategic. So
it's one of those perceptions, isn't it? I think that kind of gets bandied about, but actually you pull the covers back, you look under the hood a bit, and actually that's not entirely true, you know, but because we see B2C stuff all over the places that we interact, you know, personally, TV, social, whatever. But those lines have become blurred even more so, haven't they, over the last 12 months?
They haven't. I think there's that glossiness because, you know, in B2C you work with brands that you know and you kind of have connections with in kind of day-to-day life. I think for me, the bit that I've always loved about B2B is the brands that I work with are delivering technology that is going to impact all of those consumer habits and consumer products in 10 years. So we're so far ahead of the curve in terms of the way in which markets go, because B2B has to be, because it, you know, the nature of kind of the cycles that it goes through. You know, I've worked on 5G. I started working on 5G 7-8 years ago, you know, and it's only just come into the market as a, you know, in a limited way in handsets. And there's loads of examples like that where, you know, we could see so far in the future of what's going to land in the consumer world. So for me, that is much more exciting than kind of, you know, trying to sell a mobile.
I remember we worked on the what would you call it? I forget the official name for it now without mentioning the brand, but we worked on the early stage young drivers insurance little black boxes, didn't we?
We
That
did
when they were
a
talking
long time
about
ago. Very, very
potentially,
well-known
yeah,
sales brand.
when they were potentially thinking about putting them into cars and working out the young person's insurance as a result of their driving habits. We worked on that years ago, didn't we? And guess what? It's just like come out the last couple of years.
Exactly. And if you remember,
Yeah.
actually, we had to do consumer aspects to that because we
Yeah.
had to help that company sell into the organizations that were going to buy it by demonstrating what the consumer proposition would be. So we were writing the ads and the
Yeah.
proposition for the
Yeah.
consumer marketing that landed seven years later, 7, 8 years later. So yeah, I mean, and there's so many examples like that, isn't there, where it's
Exactly.
just,
Yeah.
you
Yeah,
know,
it's funny, it just popped
you're
in
looking.
because I just literally when you talk about
Forgot
it then, I
about
kind
that.
of go, yeah, no, it's exactly. We were doing that like whenever that was, 10 years ago, so 12 years ago, something.
Exactly. So I think for me, that's the, you know, so I kind of don't think about the sort of B2B, B2C thing. It's kind of whatever. But where your question about what can channel learn, I think it's always about where B2B channel can always do so well is the fact we can impact business very clearly. So we can look at how strategically over long periods of time, as well as kind of, you know, some of the short-term wins that we have, but over a long period of time, we can see the impact we have on sales, revenue, and it's about making sure that what we do is connected very clearly to the business and what the business needs. Yes, we can deliver loads of cool creative and do some interesting things to engage an audience, and we must keep pushing the boundaries of creativity and using interesting channels, using interesting ways of reaching those organizations, but that's in the service of delivering business to those vendors, those partners, because that's what they need to run their business, to grow their business. So, you know, and that's again where you can, if you make sure that is clearly linked up, then, you know, that's huge motivation to go, okay, this campaign I'm running, this content I'm creating, that is going to have an impact on this piece of business. And that we have to keep that connected. We have to then go, okay, what's working, what's not working? You know, we have to, you know, there's, you know, the obvious thing of, you know, fail fast. Yeah, let's get out and try stuff. You know, if it doesn't work, learn from it, move on, don't dwell on it,
And
but build it into your next piece. So we can
exactly.
do that.
And that's a big thing, isn't it? That is about connectivity, as in connecting people, creating the right relationship internally and externally, because you're right, you know, we've seen for decades, decades and decades that the channel has survived, you know, and been that sales machine. But actually through sensible, credible, trackable, manageable, creative marketing, making that connection to the end result, which is the sale and the deal, that actually has a massive impact right the way through the channel on everybody, which is what essentially why we're all here. We're all here
Exactly.
actually to sell as much stuff as we can as a partner, because then that goes through Disti and back to vendor, and then everyone's happy. But actually making that connection and understanding that it's not just about the sale is actually kind of the end bit. Everything that leads up to that can have a massive influence, and of course we've seen the way that that can change over the last year in some of the tactics and the methods and the activities that we run.
Exactly. It's all about, you know, what value are you providing in that relationship at each level? You know, what value, what is somebody expecting? What does somebody need? And what value are you providing around that? And so it's absolutely the one thing you just reminded me of. I mean, you know, what I've noticed a lot, you know, in the channel, but in tech generally, but in the channel, to some extent, I think what we can't underestimate and we can't forget is the power of brand. And that position of brand. So, and I'm not saying this isn't about business and sales. I think what I'm saying is the brand will drive business and it will drive sales. You might not be able to quantify it, although you can quantify lots of aspects of it, but I've seen, to me, it feels like there's lots of traditional brands in the channel, in vendor world, who sort of leave the brand up here and go, oh, we're, you know, we've had that brand for ages. We kind of, everyone knows who we are and what we do. But it will eventually decline and your position will decline. The market will move ahead of you. Your customers will move ahead of you and they'll see other kind competitors come in and go, okay, they've got a more interesting story, they've got a more interesting proposition. Actually, they've got a solution that connects up properly. It's not a load of disparate products and things that we don't understand how it values my business. So I think there's a lot of work to be done around that. And I think people go, when you talk about brand and brand positioning, they go, oh God, you know, I'm not redoing the logo. It's not about that. Yeah. It's about what is your brand delivering to the market? Are you telling the right story? Is it connected? Is it delivering that message to your audiences? Are you differentiated from your competitors? Do you have a roadmap of where your business is going and how you're going to, you know, the vision and the purpose for what your business is bringing to the market? And I see a lot of businesses struggling with that now. And I think they're almost getting to the point where they've got so much to do to change that. I think it's becoming a bit of an overwhelming state. But I would not underestimate the power of those brands to really sort of carry those businesses along, as well as kind of doing all the day-to-day, you know, lead gen and business. That stuff will drive business and it will grow your market share as well. And that's, yeah, you know, we've got to kind of keep pushing on that.
I would say that is a brilliant way to finish up, Alex. I mean, thank you so much. I mean, just so many insights there. Super enjoyable. You know what? I forgot we were recording, to be honest. It was just really, really pleasurable just to sit and chat about this stuff. I love it. Look, you know, we are recording. So officially, how do people get in touch with you when I'm sure they're going to want to?
Yep. So you can either go to the website, so themagnusclub.com, or you can email me on alex@themagnusclub.com. But also don't forget to go to b2bpop.org as well and have a look at some of the principles of partnership that we put together around that. And I'd love to hear from people.
Amazing. Amazing. Plus LinkedIn, obviously, or just give me a shout and I'll put you in touch.
Yeah. Any, all of that stuff.
Good stuff. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. That was good. Really good. Really good. Thank you so much. Yeah, this has been another channel drop in. Really enjoyed this with super insight from Alex Brayshaw, and more episodes coming up soon. But for now, Alex, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll talk again very soon.
Thanks, Ben.
Cheers.